You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 35 of Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, and we're off
to it. We made it to 35?
Yes, sir, we made it to 35.
We're officially middle-aged.
They said it couldn't happen. They said that we couldn't make it to 25 out the hood, but we did it.
We the best,
Kyle,
man.
What you laughing at?
We did it.
I'm laughing exactly. Motherfucker, I'm laughing at what I was laughing at. That's what.
Come on, let's not do this.
All
right. Let's not do this. We got a very special guest on the line. It's time for some professionalism, guys.
All right. Let me put my professional voice on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Knockouts and Three Counts. And let's go ahead and do our introductions. We have on the line Mr. Tony Thunder. Why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out to the people, Mr. Thunder?
Dog, shut up.
That's me. It's Tony Thunder
Yes. On
Facebook, Tony _ Thunder on Instagram, and the Tony Thunder on Twitter. And you folks at home know why. All right.
Hey, Mr. Thunder, if someone would like to rent a wrestling ring, how do they do that, sir?
Oh, well, if they want to rent a wrestling ring, is it your bar mitzvah? Is it Ramadan? Is it your birthday? Is it Jesus' birthday? Is it your kid's birthday party? You hit up rentawrestlingring.com and tell Merle that his favorite radio station sits down. Back to you, Devin.
Thank you, sir. Now, to my right, we have Mr. Kyle Callison. Mr. Callison, why don't you please introduce yourself and throw out your social media?
This is Kyle Collison, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. Find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison, and follow the show page at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast.
Why, thank you, Mr. Collison. Now, I am Devin McKenzie. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That is DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at Allstate No Sizzle. That is one word. If you are looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. And when you go in to make your purchase, make sure you use the reference code 19309. That is 19309, and you will receive $500 off on your purchase.
1939.
No. Alrighty.
Okay.
Enough of that stuff. Let's get to our guest, very special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you know her as a contestant on The Ultimate Fighter. You know her as a UFC badass. Ladies and gentlemen, representing Scorpion Fighting Systems, Miss Amanda Bobby Cooper. ABC, welcome to the show.
Woo!
Amanda, are you still there?
She was there.
Did we lose Amanda?
She will be there, but I don't know.
Amanda, can you hear us?
Oh, geez, we done lost ABC. She go fucking throat chop somebody. See.
You might want to tell Tony to tell her to call back.
Hey, Tony, tell her to call back.
While we're live on air, ladies and gentlemen, I want to direct you to Money in a Bank coming up in the week after next. We're going to fucking do this shit on the fly right now.
Yes, sir. You want to talk a little Money in the Bank till we get Amanda back on her?
That works.
No, see, this is going to be a special episode about ABC. We're going to, you know, get her the good questions like we do. And it's going to be a great time. And
we'll get Amanda back on the show, but until we get her on the line, let's talk a little bit about Amanda. I know, Kyle, you know a little bit more about Amanda in the Michigan MMA scene more than we do. I know her from Ultimate Fighter. We saw her in Detroit here. Was it December 2nd?
Yep.
I think that was.
Yep.
UFC 218. She had a great victory over
Angela Magana.
Yep. And yeah, I got a special question about that match. But
please tell me it's not what I think you're going to
ask. No, it's not what you think it is.
Good.
It's definitely what you think it is.
I knew that. Yep. It's. I knew it. This is where we were
going. She said we lost her.
Huh?
She said we lost her. I said, did we lose you? She said, yes.
Yeah.
This is a great way to start the show. This usually happens when producer Randy's not in the studio. So shout out to producer now Randy. Producer now Randy, get everybody your social medias.
She wants to stay anonymous, dogs.
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
Play the cricket sound effects, Ben.
Oh, that works. Close enough.
Sound like tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed. Tony, I hope you're watching the live video, because if you could have seen Devin's face when he was trying to do the, like, the broadcaster voice.
What, my professional broadcasting voice?
Dog, your face was fucking hysterical. His eyebrows are all perked up and shit.
Voice. Can we try to call her back one more again?
One more time? One more again?
Yeah, one more again.
Oh,
one
my God, dude. His time. Face was hilarious. His eyes are all, like, wide-eyed and everything.
Yes, that is my... My professional broadcasting face.
He's cheesing like a kid who just got some candy.
And I laugh like this, too. Ha ha.
Hi.
Cool. Wait, are you there? Is that ABC?
Hello.
Cool. How you doing?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let's try this one more time.
All right.
Let me try this intro one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line a UFC badass, a tough Ultimate Fighter contestant, representing Scorpion's Fighter System, ladies and gentlemen, ABC, Amanda Bobby Cooper. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Woo, yes!
Amanda?
Yeah, it's cutting in and out, sorry.
Okay. Amanda, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media to the people, and anything that you need to promote, why don't you go ahead and throw that out there, too?
Yeah, my Instagram and Twitter is at ABCNation115, and people can follow me there.
Okay. Any sponsors or anything you need to promote?
No, that's okay.
Okay. Well, Kyle, why don't you go ahead and start us off with our first question?
So now that you've been up in the UFC a little bit for a little while, we were both at your fight in Detroit here against Angela Magana. You know, now that you've kind of been on your run, you know, since the Ultimate Fighter, like, what's it like for you now that you've actually been up in the UFC for a little while?
Yeah, you know, it just feels like a lifetime ago that I was on the Ultimate Fighter. Definitely an experience I'll always remember, but it seems like that was just, you know, the start of my career, and, you know, now I feel like I'm actually in my career, and, you know, it's a good feeling to know, you know, I'm only 26 and I'm where I want to be.
Nice. What was it like for you getting that call, though, after grinding on the local scene for a while?
Oh, I mean, you know, I went and tried out. I didn't even think I was going to be able to try out because I didn't make the requirements. And it was such a, you know, fast but yet thrilling, you know, ride. You know, it was 1-1 when I first got on there. So it was an amazing experience. When I first got the call that I was going to be on the Ultimate Fighter, it kind of started sinking, hit me then, and I had to, like, prepare and, you know, make sure I was ready for the level.
Do they, when you guys go for the tryouts and stuff like that, do they, how soon after do they start, like, filming with that stuff? Because we just had a couple of our teammates went out for the last two tryouts that they had. Like, do they start that right afterwards? Or, like, how long do you guys got before you guys got to start the show?
You know, I tried out, and then I think 5 weeks later they gave me a call and said I had, you know, I think another 5-day notice to get to Vegas. It happened, you know, within a month or a little after a month, but I think, you know, it's a little different now. My buddy just went out there last weekend and tried out, and they told him within 1 to 3 weeks they were going to know whether they made it, and, you know, it took me 5 weeks to know I made it, and then I think, you know, a week later they start filming, so it's pretty quick.
Mr. Thunder, you got a question for, I guess?
Absolutely. When you first started doing this, how long has it been, and what is the dynamic of when you first started compared to now? Because a few past guests of ours have said that the competition is getting a lot harder now with the younger class of people coming into this as opposed to maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, MMA, especially for women, has evolved so much. I first started, there was hardly any women to fight. No one, you know, everyone was just a bunch of, the girls that I was fighting were just tough girls. You know, they weren't high level, you know, wrestlers that fought, they were in the Olympics or, you know, it was just a bunch of girls that thought that they were tough. And, you know, I had experienced boxing, so I felt like that gave me a big edge on people. But now, you know, I'm fighting people that have bigger edges on me, or, you know, longer backgrounds, have been fighting longer, or bigger competition. So, you know, it's just evolved so much. And, you know, ladies that get in and now that don't have a background, it's hard to keep, you know, up with the women that have been fighting, you know, doing things for 15 years.
Absolutely. And you originally boxed before you got into MMA, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, as far as the dynamic between boxing and MMA, how was that transition for you? And what do you think of the boxing world now versus how popular and hot MMA has become?
Well, you know, I was an amateur boxer when I got into amateur MMA, and boxing was very boring. You know, you didn't set up fights. You just kind of hoped you made fights. There was no music. The lights were turned on. It was just a very, you know, boring, easy competition. Not easy, but like, you know, it didn't give you much adrenaline. It didn't, you know, excite you too much. But then, you know, I got into MMA, and I only got into MMA. My dad actually signed me up for my first cage fight. He thought I would have good natural reaction, or natural ability to fight like in the cage. And, you know, it was a thrilling adventure. I was getting, you know, hit harder. The crowd was more excited. It was just, more exciting thrill to me. And, you know, that's just kind of how I got started in it, because boxing kind of, you know, got boring and there wasn't much competition. And I did a lot of, you know, one golden gloves twice in a row, 2 years in a row, and then nationals. And, you know, it just kind of got boring. There wasn't much going on. So, you know, I'm not really around the scene anymore. So I don't know. Even, you know, I did pro boxing and it wasn't as exciting as MMA.
So you're training out here out of Scorpion Fighting Systems. Like, how'd you get hooked up with them? And like, what's it like for you being someone that's fighting on the highest level in the UFC, still training at home, which, you know, you see so many guys that have come out of here that are, you know, going other places to train. Like, what's the dynamic like for you being still staying at home here in Michigan? And do you think it helps, hurts? What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, did we lose Amanda again?
I think so. Tony, are you still here?
I'm still here.
All right, good.
Did we lose Amanda?
I think so.
Is she gone?
Man, this is not smooth.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be like butter.
This is like the butter that's like crackling in the pot and shit and popping up. You get the grease hitting you and shit.
35 episodes in, we're still trying to figure this shit out, people.
Yeah.
I didn't get to ask.
So her.
She hung up.
Did we
I didn't get to ask my nip slip question.
Oh man.
I knew like, that's where like, you were going, like, dog.
Did you hear
remember
me tell
on
me?
Wayne's World when they got their show syndicated and they were in the basement and like Wayne was like, "Fuck this," and Garth was like, it was like 3, 2, 1, and Garth was just like That's us right now. Just
dude, that's like this is like the question when you go like when you're in high school or middle school and you try to go talk to a girl, you go to go ask her out or ask her a question and shit, and then just out because I went and asked my question. The next thing you know, well, she's gone. Well, that didn't work.
I didn't get to ask my nip slip question. That's
what I tell you, Tony.
Can we try calling her back? I know she's probably gonna be like, "Yo, what the fuck?" And she gonna need me in the ribs. And she goes like, "Yo, it's just fuck you." And I'm going to be like, "Well."
Wait, she's going to need you in her ribs?
Yes.
All right, I'm okay with that. Yeah, let's just try and call her one more time.
Hey, better you than me.
You can take a punch, Tony. Or a knee.
Don't volunteer me.
I don't blame you there.
Can we try to get her back on the line?
I think she's trying to do that now. Okay.
Hey, Kyle,
you go apologize this time. Fuck that.
I got to apologize.
Devin apologize. I apologize. It's your turn. Then we go get not producer Randy to say, "Hey, I'm new. Forgive me." And then everything will be right with the world.
Okay.
So, wait. Take
that right now, producer Randy.
I don't think she's talking.
She's not responding. She just shook her
not
head.
Not producer Randy. Come on.
But, wait, Amanda, is that you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Before we lose you again, I'm going to ask my question now.
Oh, God.
So
we're sorry for the technical difficulties.
No, that's okay.
I had to say it again this time. You know, it's just I don't know what it is, so I can't make any sense.
They have it.
Okay. So, Amanda, me and Kyle were at UFC 218, and we saw your performance against Angela.
Ring the bell.
You did a great job. And well, first, what was it like fighting in front of your hometown at Little Caesars Arena?
Now it's your turn to get cut out of the question.
Did Did we lose her again?
It looks like it.
Damn it. I'm going to just say it like this time, like, well, it was great being at Little Caesars Arena. I'm actually from Bath, Michigan, which is like a small town near Clinton Township. Got around like 3,000 people there, you know. So being at the Little Caesars Arena was like the amount of people in my city watching me fight at once.
Amanda, like, your voice got so much deeper.
Hey, I'm going to kick you in the dick, Kyle.
I quit. I don't even have a fucking comeback.
So,
hello.
Hello? Are you, can you hear us?
Yeah, yeah. Should we just, you know, try for another night?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, we apologize.
We do apologize.
Yeah, but no, that's okay. I'm definitely willing to do it again. And just obviously it's happened about 4 times, so maybe we'll just do it another night. Whenever you guys are good with it, I can do it.
Okay, we really do appreciate that, okay. Amanda.
Yeah, of course. No problem.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, you guys. Keep your questions there.
All righty.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we're going to make this show about not producer Randy. Not producer Randy. How old are you?
Dog. Tony. I think we need
to. Inquiring minds want to know her social medias.
I think we need to just. Title this show Clusterfuck.
Clusterfuck Jones. All right. So let's.
Which one isn't titled Clusterfuck?
That's a good. That's a very good question.
Man. That's a very good question.
I couldn't even argue that.
You know what?
It's not just your fault, producer Randy. Like
our show is always a clusterfuck.
You know? It's always up. Look, screw it. Let's not even talk MMA or wrestling right now. Let's just talk about life right now, man. Let's just talk about life right now, man. Tony, what's going on in your life, man?
Man, I'll tell you what's going on in my life. I'm just trying to get to know not producer Randy and how things are going over there. And, you know, I mean, the great Adam Nielsen added Devin McKenzie, so we got yes. that going on. The great.
Wait.
For y'all who don't know, the great Adam Nielsen is the guy who is behind Project Backstreet Boys to Men, in which he goes and adopts young orphan white boys and raised them on 90s R&B. It's one of the hottest projects and foundations out right now. So you all can help by sending Adam Nielsen your favorite 90s R&B Holy jams, Jesus. No matter how many it is, send them to Adam Nielsen. That's AdamNielsen. Send him some I can't even think of no 90s R&B groups right now.
Color Me Bad. How about Color Me Bad? You hear me?
Huh?
What about Color Me Bad?
Color Me Bad. If you like John B.
Jodeci.
Color Me Bad. Jodeci. Drew Hill.
Yes. I like Drew Hill. What about
Good.
What about Escape? Or does it have to be Men?
What about Rough Ends?
Rough What about
they have that one song? What about In Vogue?
What about Jagged Edge?
R&B, send them to Adam Nielsen. Not producer Randy, what's your favorite 90s R&B track?
She's not going to talk, dog.
Producer Randy,
I feel like I need to, like, I feel like I need to do some research and know what the fuck is going on with this Adam Nielsen shit, because I keep hearing I don't know anything about it, but you guys keep bringing it up. So I feel like just on happenstance, I need to know just so I can be in the loop, because this is like the fifth time I've heard him brought up and I have no clue who the fuck he is.
And look, here's the thing. I don't even know who he is. He hit me up the other day on Facebook. I was just like, hey, I have no idea who you are, but Tony keeps talking about you, and I have to find out what this is all about.
Holy jeez.
Hey, Tony, didn't you say that Adam Nielsen once picked an apple from an orange tree and made the greatest lemonade of all time?
What the fuck?
He absolutely did. Adam Nielsen.
That's like sounds like some shroom sheet, dude, okay?
Wait, what'd you say, Tony?
Adam Nielsen is an amazing feat of a man. I tell you that. You know, I was invited to do, to be the best man at my cousin's wedding. He was like, man, I just want you to be the best man at my wedding. And if you could, make a toast. So when I went and I stood up in front of everybody, the first two words of that toast was Adam Nielsen.
Oh, God.
Hey, I heard that Adam Nielsen once got bit by a cobra, and after 5 agonizing, painful days, that cobra finally died.
That's, well, he's not Chuck Norris, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. He ain't no fucking Chuck Norris. You know why people don't make jokes about Bruce Lee?
Because he'd kill him.
Because Bruce Lee's not a joke, okay? Bruce Lee is no joke.
Well played.
Good job, sir. Good job. All right. Let's try
yeah,
to get...
Yeah, man. So let's talk about not producer Randy.
Oh, Jesus.
Not producer Randy. Tony. How are you? Can you at least say hello?
Tony, it's a lost cause, dog.
No.
My ass!
Oh, damn.
Not producer Randy.
Tony.
Tony, I think we're
going to throw the towel in, man.
All right.
We got our ass whooped thoroughly.
What's that?
I don't even have a towel.
Hey, at least on the upside, she was cool and said she'd come back on, and at least hopefully this time it'll give us more time to promote the shit.
Yeah, I give you that, Mr. Collison. All right, so we got Money in the Bank coming up next weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, and I have, or no, in a couple weeks, because Devin and I will be there. Ring the bell.
Yes, sir.
But that brings up a good question, and I was talking to Devin about this, and I'd love to.
Are you going
to
be in Detroit?
No, Chicago.
Shot City.
Oh.
But I wanted to talk to you about this because
I. Rafters in Detroit.
It is?
No.
I think it's
June 3rd.
I think it's Grand Rapids, bro. Or not, either they're Grand Rapids or something like that. But the question I got for you, because Devin and I were talking about this before, have you heard what they were saying about how they're going to start making all the regular pay per views? Well, I don't really consider Money in the Bank to be a regular pay per view, but they said that they're going to. The rumor that's been around is that they're going to start making them all 4 hours, and that because they're going to be later or going on longer, that they're going to be starting the shows earlier. So, like how the pre-show would be at 7, they say, from what I'm hearing, they're going to start the main show at 7, which would put the pre-show at 6. What do you think?
I don't give a shit. I mean, people still gonna watch it.
Pretty much.
How do you really feel? Man.
That's how he really feels. Here you go. That's a question for you, as we're going to be sitting there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. Like, yeah, I'm going to be there for Money in the Bank. I'm probably going to watch all the other pay-per-views, but especially now that Bayley's isn't showing them anymore, man, I'm going to be at home. I'm probably going to start falling asleep on these pay-per-views, man, to be honest with you, because I got to go to work the next day, man. So, going to Bayley's, I was out of the house, so I couldn't fall asleep on them.
Coming to BLB's, dog?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I forgot about BLBs.
Because we had an all right turnout. It was so last minute. We still had
a pretty good turnout.
Probably about somewhere between. We still probably had about 12 or 15 people for it being that short a notice.
Okay.
Plus, there were already some people that were already there.
Okay. Wait, like 12 of our people?
Yeah. There was 12 of our people, and then there was probably another 4 or 5 that were already there. So, I mean, it wasn't bad.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll start coming out there. The only thing is, that's a long hike from Southfield, man. So, but I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this whole, you know, all the pay-per-views being blended now and it being 4 hours.
That makes more sense, in my opinion, because, like, you got to think, with these shows, with Raw being 3 hours, a pay-per-view has to be longer than that, kind of. Like, it's supposed to be a big show.
Right.
So if you got everybody on Raw, they got to fill 4 hours of TV, and you don't even see most of them through the 3 hours of television, why would you care about that fourth hour? I mean, that's just kind of like pushing it. And then you got SmackDown to help. So, you know, I want to see more, like, joint show matches. I don't want it to just be a once or twice thing a year, like with Survivor Series or whatever else they do, you know.
Here's a question for you both. I was listening to and if both of you guys have any time to listen to it, I thought it was a great listen. I was listening to Sam Roberts with Mauro Ranallo on there.
Oh yeah, great listen.
That
great
was
listen.
A fucking awesome interview. But one thing that Sam brought up that made a good point, you know, with it being longer, and this kind of goes with what you were saying, Tony, with them having more time now, they, you know, it could give more split to the shows to where, like, you know, like back in the day, you remember like when they first did the brand split, how you would have, you know, Raw match here, SmackDown match here. Now that they're stretching this out and that SmackDown is supposed to go to Fox, you know, this could
finally put it to a place where you can actually have like a true.
Where it actually feels like SmackDown's just not the B
yeah,
show.
Like it's a brand split where it's like, you know, back to where it was originally, where it was like one against the other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I think this opens the opportunity for that. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think
producer Randy chime in on this and tell her thoughts about it. What do you think about the WWE going to Fox producer Randy?
She doesn't care.
All right, now producer Randy, thank you for your comment. I think like
God.
With the WWE going to Fox, you gotta remember, I just really realized that this is one of the first times in my knowledge of WWE and professional wrestling itself not really having any shows on network television.
But wouldn't Fox count as network television since they're going to regular Fox?
It will count. I'm talking about right now.
Oh, okay. All
right. What WWE show comes on network television right now?
You're right.
Does Saturday Morning Slam still even come on?
I don't think so.
I think this is a good move for Vince. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who have digital TV and they watch Ion TV and the other black channel that not producer Randy says is her favorite show to watch. You know, when there's a lot more people who can view your product, there's a lot more ratings. There's a lot more this and that, and this and that. And not producer Randy, do you watch Fox?
Oh, God.
Not producer Randy doesn't care about Fox.
Something I thought about, too, that is another reason why, I mean, we can all hate on Vince as much as you want. But the business.
Oh, can I start?
Hold on.
No.
Hold
Devin
on a minute.
Can hit on Vince as much as he wants. We don't hit on Vince.
So the business side of it, though, Sam was breaking down the numbers in that same interview. Do you know that with them getting paid $1 billion for that, that breaks down to every week for each show, they're getting paid $4 million per show?
Hey,
When
it comes to securing the bag, Vince McMahon is definitely the man. Because you think about the $1 billion deal over the next 5 years for, was it SmackDown?
Yeah.
And then they got more than $1 billion for Raw, and then they got the deal with Saudi Arabia where they're getting $20 million a show for that. Dude, as far as when it comes down, the dollars and cents, Vince McMahon is definitely.
And that's the funny thing. All these people that are trying to say, oh, the WWE is not looking good. Dog, if you look at their bank account, WWE is doing just fine, bro. Just fine.
maybe we can get pyrotechnics back. Maybe. I like pyro. AJ Styles theme song just don't sound the same without the pyro, man.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It does. And like another one that was weird to me is Kane. Like when you hear the whatever the fuck that is when he comes out now, it's just not the same. I'm used to seeing the fucking fire blow up and all that shit. And the whatever sound that is they do now just doesn't, I don't know. Right.
But I mean, at the end of the day, Vince McMahon is definitely one of the best businessmen in sports entertainment of all time. So, you know, anything that I say about Vince is usually about creative stuff, like, you know, storyline stuff. But as far as, like, handling his business, I mean, it's very hard to find anybody better than him. You know, Don King, you might want to throw him in there. He's one of those
Don
people.
Don King is
but
not on the same level as Vince.
Hell no. Floyd Mayweather shits on Don King. What the fuck is wrong with
him? Hey, man, I'm going historically, man. Don King
wasn't fucking with either one of them. Sorry.
But Dana White, he looks up to Vince McMahon, and, you know, he.
Exactly. That tells you what you need to know.
So Vince McMahon is definitely one of the kings.
And then another thing, and Tony, you would be better to speak on this than either one of us, but in my opinion, I think that by them doing this and getting them back on network television and opening a lot of eyes that maybe might not see it because they don't have, you know, regular cable or whatever, I think this does a big solid for the rest of the wrestling business too, because maybe it might get more people watching it, which will get them watching the other stuff, whether it be on the indies or Impact or Ring of Honor, whoever. You know, like if you get more eyes on WWE, regardless of what anyone wants to say, that's the top game in town. So if you've got more people watching them and getting them interested in wrestling, I think it does a solid for like the whole wrestling business.
So now hopefully MLW and Impact can get on channels that people actually recognize.
From what I heard, that network
shots
Well, from what I heard, though, dude, that MLW, the network that MLW is supposed to be on is supposed to be a bigger network.
Not MLW? What the hell is MLW?
Major League Wrestling. It's Court Bauer's running it. But they've got, like, Shane Strickland.
Why have I not heard of this?
Shane Strickland's their champion. Bruce Pritchard's doing creative for them.
Shane Strickland. Why does that sound so damn familiar?
Swerve? I think A.R. Fox was on there.
Yep.
A.R. Fox. Tony Schiavone's on commentary. It's a pretty good show. Pretty good show.
Holy shit, it's 1997.
Yeah, and then they got Pritchard's doing their helping with their creative and helping agent their matches and shit.
Kyle, don't ever say that again.
Don't say what?
No. What did I say? So not producer Randy.
Oh,
let the people know your thoughts on professional wrestling. That is very insightful information, ladies and gentlemen. As we continue with this show, how long we got till break?
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, that's a good question. How long have we been recording so far?
Half hour.
All right. Well, let's take a break in a little bit. Any last thoughts about Vince McMahon and the company before we go to break?
You're
Vince
fired.
Vince McMahon is the genius of all sports empires.
You really can't argue that.
He made Major League Baseball what it is. He made the NBA what it is. He made the NFL what it is. If you watch any chronological, like, notion of the entire WWE,
no, he's got a point about the NFL though. I mean, maybe not the NFL.
NFL, dude. Like NFL, there's no argument.
Coming out to theme songs. The players are coming out to theme songs. The players got pyro and shit when they come out. Like the halftime show shit came from rock and wrestling. Fucking like Vince McMahon. Like storylines. They call the playoff storylines for a reason. Like, hello. Like this is Cavs versus fucking Warriors 3, and we four. All knew it from the beginning. As much as four. Everybody counted out LeBron, as much as everybody, oh, he gonna get swept, and all that bullshit, y'all knew.
So LeBron James is the Cleveland John Cena of basketball, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, John Cena is the greatest wrestler of all time, so I mean, yeah. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time. And I can back that up with any debate. Like, anybody want to debate me on it, bring it. You want to talk about Jordan 6 rings? Oh, Jordan got 6 rings. He never lost in the finals. Yeah, Jordan didn't go to the finals for, like, what, 8 seasons, 9 seasons? How many times did Jordan miss the finals? LeBron has more Eastern Conference championships than Jordan. Well, what else you want? The shoes. Oh, it's got to be the shoes. Y'all got to realize that Jordan's shoes – he was the first person in NBA to have his own shoes that looked different than everybody else's. In fact, when he first came out with his shoes, they were outlawed by the NBA. So if you the first one to have some nice-looking shoes, of course everybody go running by your shit. I mean, that don't got nothing to do with being the best. I mean, Muhammad Ali put FUBU out of business with that platinum FUBU. Does that mean that Muhammad Ali's not the greatest boxer of all time because then nobody buys FUBU shirts? Is that what you're telling me?
I bought a
that
FUBU shirt.
That Floyd Mayweather better than Ali because didn't nobody buy a platinum FUBU?
I bought platinum FUBU.
Some bullshit.
Hey, Muhammad Ali is the GOAT, period.
Hey, Tony, are you arguing with yourself right now? Is that's what's happening right now?
It happens sometimes.
On that note, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll try.
He's pulling a Randy Orton. He's got voices in his head.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get this show back on the rails, people. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Mr. Thunder, are you there?
That's me.
Hey, Tony, did you get my message?
I don't believe so.
Wait, check your phone real quick, man.
My phone?
Yeah, check your messenger real quick. All right.
Oh, okay, I got you. All
right, so we're back.
Oh, fuck that.
Well, wait a minute, what was said? I need to know this.
No, we're back.
We back.
So let's talk about the clusterfuck that just came up on my phone. Can somebody tell me what the fuck the point of that match was on SmackDown, if that's how you were going to play it out? You're really going to run Daniel Bryan's first storyline against Cass?
I mean, why not?
I mean, it's whatever, but I mean...
Cass is out.
No, he's not.
I don't know if it's shoot. I don't know if it's a shoot or work, but he fucked his knee up again.
Tonight?
No, last week.
They just wrestled in a triple threat. It was him, Samoa Joe, and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So he's all right.
Yeah, because they brought him back. It was supposed to be him, Bryan, and Joe. And then,
him and Joe.
And then Cass came out, like, because I saw the first few minutes before I left, and he was like, I beat Daniel Bryan, and da, da, da. So Paige put him in the match, and now Samoa Joe won. So I'm assuming that's probably going to be because those two are going to go at it. But
I mean, but I don't see why you wouldn't put, well, not necessarily, you know, put these two, but I can see why they're doing it, having Cass and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it gives Cass the rub. I mean,
right.
I get it, but I just, I kind of wanted to see Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan again, but that's just me.
I mean, well, you did, but it was a triple threat for him.
That's though. Not the same.
Hey, they got to tease. They can't give it all at one time, man. They got to tease a little.
I'm with it. I mean, thank God he's healthy. Knock on wood, hopefully he stays healthy, and we'll get to see that shit eventually. But I just was like, what the fuck?
Hey, Tony, what did you think about Cass and Daniel Bryan going into a program next?
Oh, man. I mean, they're using it, obviously, to try to push Big Cass. I mean, Daniel Bryan and beat the shit out of that boy. I don't know how many times. So, of course, Cass will get the big payoff where he eventually beats Daniel Bryan. And it's going to be one of those things. I mean, I'm not really a Big Cass fan. I don't see the value in him, I guess. I don't see the whole star quality in him, I guess.
He's a big, sweaty man. Vince likes that.
I mean, he's not as entertaining on the mic as Enzo was. He's not as entertaining in the ring as most guys are. I mean, you look at the bigger guys in WWE right now, like Baron Corbin. You know, you look at guys like Braun Strowman. You know, like, Braun can hold his own on the mic. But really, he don't have to say nothing.
Braun's actually funny on the mic, too.
Yeah.
Not that he needs to be, but.
I mean, like, how many things do you remember Braun Strowman saying on the mic? Get these hands?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, I guess maybe I'm basing it more off the shit that they've had on the network, like showing stuff behind the scenes, but.
Well, you mentioned Baron Corbin, man. I think Baron Corbin, I like Baron Corbin.
I do man. Too, man.
I just think he's like, I don't know what's happening, but he's like really underrated, and I feel like he's kind of being underutilized.
I
too,
agree 100%.
I'm going to tell you why.
Why is that?
Because the fans won't get behind him because he's not an indie darling.
And I think that's fucking stupid because I like
the only
whole thing.
Indie darling that really gets any, the only guy in WWE right now that's not an indie darling that really doesn't get hated on by the crowd is Braun and Big E.
That's another good question. Do you guys think that we'll ever see a time where like Big E gets like a run towards a world title like he did in NXT?
We might be saying that right now.
Eventually.
I would like to see it because I personally was a fan of the NXT run.
I think they're planting the seeds for that right now.
I didn't like that whole 5-count shit back then.
The 5
I mean,
count
I thought he
maybe
was good. Don't get me wrong.
I just think if you put him in a spot to where he was like, I don't like one of the your top guys for a while, I think he could. I think he would bring a different flavor to it. That's just me.
And plus, he stole that 5-count from King Kong Bundy.
He did.
Bundy.
And, like, when he first did it, I was like, okay. You know, but the crowd loved it, you know. When he first came to WWE and he had that shit with Ziggler, like, they were like, okay, who's this guy? And he first went single. They were really hot behind him. Then the New Day came along, and those boys are making money.
Fuck yeah,
like,
they are.
They're having fun and making money. There's no other thing. Like, there's nothing else to do in this business but make a lot of money and have a ton of fun. And I don't think nobody's doing that better than New Day right now.
And
except maybe the Young Bucks.
Let's talk about how smart they are. Well, Big E and Kofi haven't done it as much, but I applaud the shit out of Xavier Woods too, man. How he's like made like his own little like side hustle with the whole up, up, down, down thing. Like, I mean, dude, that's become a thing in and of itself. Like he's used
over a million subscribers.
Yeah, dude. Like, I mean, that's nothing to just laugh about. That's pretty dope. In my opinion,
I just think they're going down the path of breaking them boys up now.
Oh, they're going to.
I already see it happening. What about you, Tony?
I think
I hope so.
I think one day they're going to make Big E snap.
I mean, I don't see New Day ending. Like, if you watch the table for three with New Day, Kofi pretty much said, like, New Day won't be over until he's ready to retire. Like, he said he wanted to ride the New Day into the sunset. And if New Day does end, we're going to see Kofi eventually, like, shift out of the picture. Y'all got to remember, Kofi been doing this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, damn, Kofi been doing this shit for a minute, man. And he's been a low-key staple in the WWE for, like, the last 10, 15 years. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that Kofi has been, like, one of the biggest mid-card names in the WWE in the last 10, 15 years. He's doing now what guys like Mr. Perfect and fucking Rick Rude were doing in the 80s. You know, like, they kind of keep that same pace of, oh, I know I'm going to get a good match every time I see this dude work.
Right.
And that's one of my favorite things about Kofi. You know, they don't really give him that
credit
star treatment like he should.
Right.
But, you know, he knows his place and he works it well.
Not to mention, one thing that I also think is very underrated. Devin, you might have heard this because I know you listen to a lot of podcasts, but I was listening to Stone Cold's podcast, and he had the Big Show on, and the Big Show said that he straight up told Kofi Kingston, and right in front of Big E and Xavier Woods, like when they first formed the New Day, he pulled him over to the side right in front of him, and he goes, "What the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "Dude, you just had a run towards the world title. You're gonna fuck your career up." And I think it's a credit to Kofi and the rest of the guys from the New Day what they were able to turn that into out of what it started with. Because from the sounds of it, it sounds like a lot of people didn't really see much for it.
Oh, this is where opportunity I get to bash Vince McMahon. So Vince McMahon had his idea of what the New Day should be, right? And Vince McMahon has these go-tos. And one of them is, hey, if you're black, you're a preacher. Oh, and they were basically a preacher. They were preachers at first. Because I remember, like...
technically, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Vince was in the ring, and he was calling out the New Day. He's like, "Ah, here comes the New Day! Hallelujah!" I'm like, "That's not what the gimmick is."
They had the choir out there.
Yeah, but the New Day said, "Okay, all right, you're giving us the opportunity. Cool, we're gonna take it and we're gonna tweak it slowly but surely to what we wanted to be." To the point where, man, they were doing stuff, you know, on WWE.com, on YouTube, on their own, and just doing stuff that was making everybody laugh. It's like, we got to put this on TV. So they did this on their own, man. Because the original idea that I heard was like, this was supposed to be called like the Speed Force or something like that. And I'm like, this is not going to go well. But they took what was given to them and they made something out of it. So, and that's a credit to them.
Absolutely, man. New Day to me is that tag team that the WWE kind of needs. As y'all know, and as Devin would say, I get to hit on Mr. McMahon. The WWE really doesn't like tag teams.
I agree.
You know,
I hate that too.
Every great tag team that's came about, either they were two single guys who kind of just worked well together, or they were eventually split up. The Hardys came in as a tag team, they were split up. ENC came in as a tag team, they were split up. Even the Dudleys were split up for a moment. And that's one of the reasons why the Young Bucks didn't want to go to the WWE, because the WWE couldn't promise them that they would keep them together. Right. So that was like their cop out. Like, oh, well, if you can't promise us we'll stick together, we can't do it. But at the same time, you got to look from their WWE standpoint. What if one of them gets injured? You're going to take the other one off TV until the other one gets better?
Do you think, speaking of the Young Bucks, do either of you guys think they'll ever go there? Like, ever? Especially with how hot they are. And now, like, say just for...
They're still young.
Yeah,
actually, they're not as young as you think, but they're still young.
Right. Just look at it this way. Okay, just say for shits and giggles, you know, hypothetically they go to NXT or whatever, where it seems as though, as far as like the creative and things like that go, they're doing more of allowing people to kind of keep what they had going on the indies to a degree. Like a good example of that is TM61. You know, they were a tag team that was known all over the place before they got here. Do you think now that NXT is kind of become like the breeding ground for that kind of deal, like with guys like Ricochet or when Drew McIntyre came back or whatever, do you think that they would maybe go there if they were told that they could do things basically how they were doing them now? Or do you think the Hot Topic thing and all the money they're making on the outside you know, is too good for them to try that.
You want to take this one first, Tony?
No, you can go ahead. You can go ahead. I'll backpedal off you.
Okay. If they went to the WWE, they would definitely go to NXT first, and I think they would flourish there. My problem is, if they go up to the main roster, what happens from there? If NXT, if they do NXT like I think they're going to do and make it exclusively like a third brand, just for like, make it like the high-level indie promotion, cool. But I think the Young Bucks are making so much money right now on their own, and they have so much control over what they want to do. Why would they give that up in the WWE?
Because everybody wants to hit WrestleMania at some point.
And that's really the only allure, I think, is that WrestleMania moment. But other than that, the Young Bucks, I think they're basically writing their own ticket right now. What do you think, Tony?
I mean, I get that they're doing their own thing, but you gotta realize sooner or later that there is no platform bigger than the WWE. I don't care where you are, what promotion you're at. The only, I guess, comparison is New Japan. I mean,
right.
Everyone knows that eventually you want that main event spot at WrestleMania. You want that platform of WWE. I mean, even AJ Styles, when he was doing the Bullet Club shit and he was in New Japan and stuff and all that, his fan base now is way bigger than it was when he was in New Japan. Way bigger. Like, the kids you see now with AJ Styles shirts on, it's like, holy shit.
Dude, and it's not even just the kids, bro. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, there's a lot of marks out there who, you know, well, you know, I know they don't like the term marks, but.
No, I'm okay with it.
There's a lot of marks out there.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of marks out there.
I saw a guy that literally sat next to me at WrestleMania that he bought like the, I don't know if you guys have seen it on WWE.com, but this guy legitimately had like the full on, like the vest.
The leather vest.
The vest and the fucking gloves and the sweatbands and the hat and all that shit. And I'm like, wow. Like, and this guy, I think he was probably same age as me or maybe a little bit older than me. So that just shows you how big he's gotten since he's been in WWE.
I mean, a lot of marks out there, they really don't realize, like, AJ's best matches really has been in, well,
TNA,
I can't say that
New Japan.
Yet. Uh-huh.
TNA, New Japan, that was probably some of his best matches. Although, here we go. It's me saying. Wait, here's
that's subjective. I mean, it really depends on what kind of style of wrestling you like.
Hey, wait, here's me being nice to John Cena. Him and John Cena have probably had, what, two or three of the best matches over the past, what, 3 years?
I agree completely.
John Cena is the LeBron James of the NBA, of the WWE. And I mean that sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Like, everybody in WWE right now, one of their top three matches, no matter who you name, one of their top three matches is against John Cena.
I can't argue that.
Can't argue that.
It just is. And John Cena is really hated for, well, originally he was hated because, oh, the gimmick is getting stale. He switched it up a little bit. Then it was, no, first it was he can't wrestle. The boy been putting in work. Then it was, oh, he only have five moves. And when you ask most guys, like, oh, so you only have five moves. Oh, who's your favorite wrestler? Stone Cold. How many moves does Stone Cold have?
Like, yeah, three. Like, he himself says he was all punches and kicks.
Yeah, pretty much. But John Cena, to me, is that next level. To me, he's Hulk Hogan on steroids. Because
Hulk Hogan was on steroids.
The best matches. If he can have the best matches in the WWE against guys from the indies, just imagine if he worked that indie style or worked that New Japan style on the indies, how great his matches would be. The dude can fucking lift fucking 600, 700 fucking pounds.
I saw it.
The dude
it
can fucking
crazy.
Jump as high of him, can fucking run as fast as him, and the dude is fucking 40.
Hey,
like,
hey, Tony, question. Who would win a match between Adam Nielsen and John Cena?
If Adam Nielsen and John Cena had a match, you know, Adam Nielsen has a devastating spear, I must say that, and he has a dive to the outside of the ring that just, the people love it, okay? And that's his words, too, so you know it's real. The people love his dive. Okay. So if Adam Nielsen hits that dive and that spear on John Cena, John Cena will kick out at two. John Cena is the greatest wrestler on the face of the planet, and even Adam Nielsen can't fuck with John Cena.
Not even Adam Nielsen?
Not even Adam Nielsen.
I think you're selling him for sure, man. But
I'll be good. I mean, I'll be 100% honest, dude. Like, I liked Cena when he first came in, when he did the Thugonomics thing, but I, like a lot of people, got a little bit sour on him once he started doing his thing at the beginning. But, dude, to be honest, I don't have any bitch anymore. Like, I really don't feel like there's any bitch for anybody at this point. Like, I mean, his matches have gotten better, as evidence, like you were talking about with, you know, AJ Styles. And people are going to – you're always going to get those people that are going to say, oh, well, it was because he was with AJ. Dude, the guy's had enough good matches with enough people that you can't say that anymore. And and you brought up the strength thing. Dude, some of the feats of strength that that motherfucker had. Like when he did the double FU.
Wait, was this at Festivus? The Feats of Strength? The airing of the grievances? Oh, I'm sorry.
But, dude, when he did the double FU on Edge in the Big Show, or like the FU where he'll like roll through with the guy on his shoulders and fucking do that shit.
It's called the Attitude Adjustment now, sir. PG.
Whatever the fuck you want to call it. I'm just saying, that guy, at least of our time, you can't. I don't know. To me, man, I don't really feel like there's much argument anymore. I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time, but I don't see any argument as to how anyone can say that the guy isn't one of the best, period.
Yeah. I mean, Devin, why do you hate John Cena?
Be honest with you, it was fun for a while. It's just a tradition now.
It's like you said, dude, he liked hating on him because it was the thing to hate on.
Well, okay, I will say this. I honestly did get tired of him for a while, but now that he's definitely lessened his workload, man, I enjoy John Cena again.
And to credit him, dude, real talk, like when he went out there and said, look, dude, like you've got all these new guys that are coming up and like listing them all off, and he was like, you know, started like trying to put over the new generation and all that kind of shit. Like, that's credit to him. He knows people are talking shit about that shit. But I give the guy credit that he seems not to have allowed. I mean, dude, he had to have been getting, like, mad hate during that stuff. So, like, to not let that rock him, too, I think says a lot.
Well, let's move on real quick. I got a question especially for you, Tony. You being an independent wrestler, and you're seeing people come up to the WWE. Do you think that the WWE is getting to a point now where they have too much talent?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest issues. Excuse me.
Bless you.
My allergies are fucking up.
I'm in the same boat. Thank you. I've been sitting here with a fucking Kleenex all day.
I think too much talent in WWE right now is one of the biggest problems they have. I mean, especially with fans and marks alike. You hear a lot of people say, oh, we want AJ Styles to get it. We want AJ Styles to get it. As soon as AJ Styles get it, it's, oh, yes, AJ Styles got it. Now I want Nakamura to get it. Now I want Nakamura to get it. Oh, Nakamura got it. Wait, Daniel Bryan's back. Now I want Daniel Bryan to get it. And as soon as that happens, they say, oh, the WWE is playing hot potato with the title too much. Why don't they just let a guy keep it for a while? Then a guy holds it for a year and it's, oh, I'm tired of him holding the belt. Why don't they take it from him? It's like, shut the fuck up. You can't please wrestling fans. But
you
to answer your question, Devin, yes, there is too much talent. I mean, you look at a guy like Curt Hawkins, to me, he's one of the best in the business. Yes, Curt Hawkins is a fucking beast. If you watch his match with Trent Beretta, I think in 2010 on Superstars or something, to me, that was the best, like, top three matches that happened that year. And, like, that match, nobody knows about it, never heard of it, probably never seen it. That match is one of the best matches in the WWE, period, that year. But he's on a, what, 100-and-something losing streak? And then you look at Heath Slater, who's loved by many fans all around. You got Jinder Mahal, who's a recent WWE champion. Drew McIntyre's on his way to win that title. Where the fuck is Heath Slater?
True. And then they're adding, they just added Keith Lee to the NXT, well, allegedly added Keith Lee to NXT, dog. But it's like NXT was your developmental brand, but man, you can they're touring with that NXT brand right now, and they're selling out wherever they go.
Yeah,
honestly, I think they need to start finding some bigger venues because the demand is there.
I've heard it's funny you say that with what I was asking you guys earlier about how it would put more of a split in the brands. I don't know if it was Sam Roberts that said it or who said it, but I've heard rumor that that's becoming a thing. I've heard that Triple H wants
bigger arenas.
Well, not only bigger arenas, but they've said it for a while. They want NXT to get out of the quote unquote developmental and become a bona fide third brand.
I mean, to me, it already is.
Well, I agree, but I'm saying to where they start making it to where there's like the big shows like Raw and SmackDown have.
Right.
Speaking of Keith Lee, did you see him fucking kill Mia Yim, bro?
Yes, I did, and I was very disappointed about that because I'm a big Mia Yim fan.
Dog, he looked like he killed that girl.
But she's tough. She can take it.
Yeah, clearly, but she's got to be tough to take that shit because, man.
I think that was his actual last match.
Dog, that looked nasty. I think we're over.
It's about time for us to wrap this up. Yeah, we got 2 minutes. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Mr. Thunder, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media and all that good stuff out there. And, you know, where can you find a wrestling ring? And if you got any matches coming up, man.
Oh, man. First, I just want to say shout out to my producer, Randy, for holding down for the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
You can find me on. You can find me on Facebook at Tony Thunder. You can find me on, I think I have a direct, just like facebook.com/tony.thunder.3 or some shit like that. Oh, go to facebook.com/ratpack and like that page. We got a very special song for the great Adam Nielsen. As a matter of fact, we got enough time I can sing that song right quick.
Oh, Jesus. Make it quick, man. Make it quick. A couple bars.
Well, A couple bucks. See, you can't do it unless it's like the whole thing. So like,
it's only
40 seconds anyway. So I'm gonna tell you all the story about me and Adam Nielsen. For those of you who don't know, Adam Nielsen has been praised dearly by the great Tony Thunder over the past few weeks. But I made a song just for him. And my Facebook won't load it up, so I can't get the lyrics. But next week, I will be performing a special tribute to Adam Nielsen with this song. If you want to win a wrestling ring, winawrestlingring.com. Tell Merle to listen to Knockout in 3 Counts, like he says he does. I'm Tony Thunder.
You got any matches coming up?
I don't think I'm wrestling this weekend. It's been like a long-ass time since I've had a weekend off. Actually, I got some shit in Detroit. Actually, I do. I'll be in Wyandotte, Michigan. And that's all I know so far.
Okay, cool. Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there? Anything you have coming up?
You can find me at Detroit Knockout on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit NOKOUT. Find me at Kyle Collison on Facebook and like our show page, Knockouts and 3 Counts podcast. And we will be bringing you back Amanda Bobby Cooper. So we will have the full interview with her. As far as what I've got going on, I'm running the Tough Mudder on Saturday. Kind of excited about that. If you're going to Money in the Bank, any of you motherfuckers that are listening going to be in Chicago, come check out me and your boy Devin. We'll be out there. Come have a beer.
Cool. And I am Devin. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. That's one word. And if you're looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. When you go to Southfield Quality Cars to make your purchase, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309, and you will receive $500 off on your purchase.
1939.
Fuck you. All right, with all that being said, let's get up out of here. Thank you all for listening. This is episode 35. We'll catch you all next time.
And fuck your couch.
Peace.